It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Is that how we start the episodes now? Go ahead. Are you done?
Hello! Welcome. Don't pay no attention to the sirens in the background. That's William's ride is here. Welcome to...
They're gonna have to wait.
The Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that is backed 100% by the FDIC. Yes. If we go bankrupt, the federal government will guarantee your deposits up to $100,000. So, when your friends are, you know, investing in the stock market or things like that, say, I'm putting my money where it's guaranteed in the podcast. Don't even tell them which one.
Guaranteed.
For those of you new to our little kingdom here, we have a hat. Oh, we also have fire trucks. We have a fire, apparently, but not here with us now. The only fire is the one in our hearts. And the love we all feel. Anyway, as I was saying, we have a hat. The hat's magic. It has its own email address that you can write to. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Go ahead, write to it. We'll wait. I lied, we won't. But you should still do that. You can write questions, comments, topics. Keep it short. The hat likes brevity. Anyway... The hat can magically check that email on its own, nothing to do with us, and transmogrify those emails into little bitty note cards that we randomly draw out of the hat and talk about till we're bored. That's the show.
We never know what we're going to talk about.
So?
It just, the hat decides.
Appreciate it. Damn it. Anyway, I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 119, I do believe.
Also the latest in the episode ever, I think we did the intros, because I got my order mixed up. I was very distracted by the fire, people. Seriously,
I hope
be nice.
I hope everyone's all right. I always kind of worry when I hear sirens about whoever it's involving.
I'm always just confused. Because, especially with fire trucks, I'm like, you almost never hear about a fire the next day.
Well, they're called out for a lot of different things, and many times, you know, well, when I was in that car accident, well, I always feel weird calling it a car accident, since I was just sitting there doing nothing in a car.
Yeah, but it was a major fucking car accident.
There was a fire truck that was called
William was killed.
I was killed.
And then he got better.
Have we ever talked about it?
I feel like we did once.
Yeah, it seems like we must.
William, I am not even making this up. And those of you who are familiar with this podcast will totally get this. How William is this? William saved an entire class of martial arts practicing women and children from a semi-truck barreling down on them on accident.
A utility van.
On accident.
That's not quite a semi-truck. But it was... The guy
that's
driving
such
it,
a great... That whole set just screams William.
Why is that?
So incredibly selfless.
But I didn't do
the
anything.
The weird exoticism of the fact that it was martial arts.
I didn't do anything.
And saving so many people. And the fact that you didn't actually do anything.
Well,
like, by being there. You were the most heroic speed bump ever.
That's pretty much how it happened, right. Because the guy fell asleep, and he came off the curve of the highway that was next to this church where a martial arts demonstration was being held with kids, mostly. And he went into the parking lot, and he would have, well, he definitely would have run over at least five people who were to my left, just in the parking lot. I mean, that's how I saw him coming for just a split second. Was I was looking to my left, and these people were in the parking lot, and they looked past me with this look of, you know, terror, and I turned just in time to see him hit me.
And his arms were torn off.
And no, he was going, you know, more than 50 miles an hour and hit my car. And but had he been able to go on, going that fast in a utility van, he would have, you know, gone through the wall and, you know, hurt a lot of people. So it was very fortunate that I was there. I wasn't even parked. My foot was just on the brake. I was waiting for another car to get on my way so I could pull forward even further, closer to the door, because I was picking up a couple children. And
not specific ones, just whatever would get in the car.
It's two specific children. Three, actually, specific children. And,
well, that's not a couple, is it? No. A lot of holes in this story, William.
All right, so it was three children.
I've never seen this wrecked car, either.
Well, it was totaled, obviously. And, yeah, it was a very interesting experience.
Yeah, I can't tease you for faking it. I'm pretty sure I actually saw a news report about it.
Really? Was it on the news?
No, sir, not saw, but, like, in the paper. I think I saw a paper.
Really? I didn't know that. But,
I might be making that up.
Fire engine came. I remember that because the fireman was holding my neck or my head in place so that I wouldn't turn my...
In case
I had an injury. Well, it hit the car pretty hard. It is pretty amazing.
Your back was kind of fucked up.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that it wasn't, you know, worse than, you know, than it was. Of course, there was a huge cash settlement and everything. That's one of the reasons.
And that man grew up to be... Wait, no, sorry, that was just you, right? Sorry, I thought I was going somewhere there. No, William was... For those of you not figured out, William's the one in the car who got hit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were following that.
But it was... Yeah. I mean, one day I'll tell the whole story if anyone cares, but...
I feel like you did.
No, there's a lot to tell. It was an interesting experience, really, all the way around.
With the good, bad, and the ugly theme music over the background? No,
just the things you think.
The wind was sharp that day.
The things you think right before something like this happens, and you think you're about to die.
You know? Oh, shit.
No, that's not what I thought, actually. Okay, stop.
But anybody else would.
No, that's not what
Remember,
I thought.
You're you.
I know.
The whole situation is you.
But we're
no one else would do this.
It was a... Yeah.
Anyway, if you would like to hear the rest of the story, press 5 now. Para en español. What the fuck is Spanish for press?
I don't know.
Número 10. No, not 10. Seis. There is no número 10.
We're spending a lot of time avoiding telling a long story, so...
There's no número 10 on the telephone.
So, how was your week?
It's fine. Not much happened. I got new glasses.
Yes, I see that. They're quite nice.
Yes. You didn't see that until I pointed it out.
You pointed out to me earlier before we were on the air.
Yesterday, when I got them at lunch, the afternoon was really kind of messed up. It took some very serious getting used to.
Why? What's...
Well, here's the thing. I had those old glasses for like 5-6 years at least. I even went to the eye doctor like 3 years ago, and some stuff had changed, but not enough that they thought it warranted new glasses. Well, what's changed since then, among other things, my left eye is no longer as nearsighted as it was, but the astigmatism is not insignificantly worse. And so the combination meant that my left eye was just a mess compared to what I had. So the theory is that I became somewhat right eye dominant. But now I've got proper correction, and so my eyes are not used to the fact that my left eye knows what the fuck it's doing again. So all day I kept thinking I had a little blur right on the left side of my right eye, but if I would close my left eye, so I was just looking at my right eye, it wasn't there. And then as the day went on, I kind of got headaches and stuff. But then today, I've been fine.
That's what would happen to me. I'd get headaches if I had to deal with something like that.
Yeah, but now today I'm much better. And these the only weird thing about these is they settle differently on my face. And I think it's good. They're a little lighter, they're a little closer in, they're a little higher. But it's weird. It feels different. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still getting used to that a little bit.
Right.
Apparently they're made out of titanium.
Well.
So that's snazzy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really it.
Snazzy.
Didn't really see, you know, movies.
Did you play your game this week?
No, we did not. There was some last minute pet issues.
Oh.
Somebody having to go to the vet. Hmm. So we had to cancel.
That's too bad.
Yeah. And you and I did not work on our secret project, but we are working on it this Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
We won't tell you where, because you'll all stalk us. But
hopefully we'll make some good progress.
I hope so.
In that small amount of time we have reserved for it.
What about you? How was your week?
Well, it was depressing, really.
Why?
Yes, it was depressing.
Why was it depressing?
Because here's the thing. I listened to the podcast last week.
Yes.
And this is the in 118 podcasts that we've done. Now, of course, I often leave podcasts thinking, oh, gosh, I'm such an idiot. What I said was stupid or I sounded dumb or whatever. And, you know, I go listen to it later and that's even more confirmed. But I usually when I listen to it later, I feel like, well, okay, you know, it was probably entertaining. This is the first time I've ever listened to one where near the end I felt like it wasn't very entertaining and it was my fault. I felt bad.
All week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you.
All week long.
I'll tell you what you do about that. You carry that feeling on and really just put that intense remorse and sadness and self-loathing. Yes. Yeah. Into your future performances. You really just own it.
This is why I'm bringing it up, because
we call this the beginning of the end right here. There will be a milestone of the time before 118. And wait, or is this is 119?
No, I'm bringing it. Yeah, this is 119. I'm bringing it up because this is kind of how I cope with things. If I talk it out, it'll all feel better. The thing is that it was actually a pretty good podcast right up until the very end, and I felt like, you know, I was so, you know, I kind of entered a period of self-loathing there near the end that it was hard for people to miss, hard for me to miss, and I just don't think that anybody wants to hear me do that. I don't want to hear me do that, and I shouldn't do it anyway. It's a horrible character flaw.
And for those of you who are here, he was actually cutting himself with a razor during that, so it was extra sort of disturbing.
No, I just, you know, it's out there, and so I acknowledge that it happened, and I feel very bad. And I apologize to the listeners for it, and I shall try not to do it again.
There you have it. William says he's too good for you.
No,
and he's not even going to try
anymore. It just made me feel better to say something about it. That's probably why I haven't felt good, because I feel like I just should make an account. Like I've done something wrong.
Well, now everybody gets to hear your apology, except those people who quit after that.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing that's going to bother me. What if someone listened to this and thought, oh, what a loser. I'm not going to listen to that anymore.
Okay.
I mean, I am a loser, I suppose, in that respect.
I can think of one circumstance.
You shouldn't penalize Tony for that. It's not his fault.
You should penalize me for completely different reasons. I don't want to ride on his terribleness coattails. No, I can think of one circumstance in which that might have happened. If someone, fictitious person, let's call her Pilar.
Okay.
If Pilar happened upon the podcast seemingly at random, not because one of our loyal listeners forced it upon her, which is how I assume the only way we get new listeners, if we in fact ever do, is forced upon by either a creator or a listener. If somehow that happened, and it just so happened such that she listened to that episode first, and that last chunk of time was so bothersome to her, but she liked the rest, but that bothered her to the intensity that she's like, I'm not even giving this a second.
But it was at the end. That's the thing. It's like whatever other.
No, I'm just saying, if that happened, then we might have lost that listener. Whereas, had it been any other episode so far, we would have been okay. I feel like that's a very specific niche.
No, I suppose
we don't really need Pilar, is what I'm saying.
I get that, but
I'm lying, Pilar. You know, please come back. Please give us another chance.
Our listeners deserve more than to
our
hear
listeners
me feeling.
Deserve far more than they ever
get. I know, that's exactly right. So why should they have to put up with me being in such a stupid mood like that? And again, I shouldn't do that any time, but much less on the air, much less waste your time and their time. I just don't know why I do it at all, but just one of the things that, one of the crosses I bear, I guess.
Well, when a person does as many recreational drugs as you did in your 20s, there's going to be some issues later on. Synapses just aren't going to fire.
Is that what you, like, is that what you kind of wonder? You like, you know, he's got all of these issues with this self-loathing stuff, but, and you always make up this past that I have that would make me like this, but I didn't do those things. So you must be totally baffled as to why. Because if you think that it takes a past like that for a person to have these issues.
No. I think it takes a brain chemical imbalance for a person like
Maybe I do have one of those. I have no idea.
I would not be remotely surprised.
Are you diagnosing me?
No, not at all. I don't mess with that.
Anyway.
I concurred with the diagnosis I was given by a professional, but I don't try.
Well, I've never had anything like that tested, but in spite of my significant issues with myself, I still accomplished a few things this week.
Do tell.
Well, we might actually have a date for the first read-through for the Briar Rose.
I saw that email. As far as I know, I think any of those dates are fine with me.
I did have a friend of mine talk about the illustration thing that we talked about last time.
Oh, yeah?
But she's a very busy person, so, you know, if anyone else is interested or knows somebody else who's interested, you know, I'm still looking for, you know, I don't just have to have one person helping me out with that. I can have several people doing it. And I don't want to overburden this friend of mine who's got so many other things going on. And
Todd McFarlane, isn't it?
No. And of course we're going to be working on our project.
Yes.
Oh, and also, I did submit a video to Geek & Sundry. They have their new channel, Geek & Sundry Vlogs.
You did, in fact.
I submitted something to them, and now it's in their hands, in their little website where you can vote for it or whatever.
And we are totally going to put a link in it in the show notes.
Right, so.
Because you all need to vote so that William can get his own show on Geek & Sundry and make the podcast huge. And you, by virtue of having been long-standing hardcore fans, hardhats, if you will become a sort of royalty amongst the throngs of listeners we later get.
Well, here's what you can do. You can vote. You can vote once a day. But you can also, you know, share the link on your Facebook or Google Plus or blog or whatever so that other people can vote. I mean, if you want to encourage people to do that. I mean,
you can also vote on a work computer and then later on an iPod and then later on a home computer.
The thing is,
all in the same day.
The thing is, this is the only way people are getting voted on. I mean, there's no way to really go to the Geek & Sundry Vlogs page and find me. They don't have a list of people there. Literally, the only way you're going to find my page to vote for it is to have the link that I guess we're going to go.
We're going to put in the show notes.
In the show notes. So,
and you have to vote. If you don't, we will know about it, and we will be pissed.
If I'm going to get other people voting for this, they have to see that link either on our blog or on your Twitter or Facebook account or something.
It's all about you, people. And
yeah, it really
recently,
is.
I have established creative fiction of my own, wherein I have a pack. I believe would be the right term, of trained carnivorous attack red pandas that I sick on to people that displease me and have them kill them. So if you don't vote, that I'm going to send my attack red pandas at you.
No,
if
this happens, which will be some kind of a miracle if it does, but if it does, Tony will be on the show talking about role-playing games, if he's willing to do that. Are you willing to do that?
Yeah, I'm totally willing to do that. I was making really nervous faces at him just to mess with his head. No, I'm totally willing to help.
I mean, we have the Writer's Workshop here, as I mentioned before, and I'll be hopefully talking to them about some storytelling
things. There'll be
things.
Puppets involved, and stop-motion animation. And
so, you know, they're... It
prizes.
Hopefully, it'll be a vlog that y'all will enjoy. I mean, not just because
celebrity guest stars.
I'm in it if you are going to be interested in something I'm doing, but there will be interesting content, I hope. So,
beer.
So yeah, if we provide the link in the show notes,
we will.
Go ahead and go there and vote, and encourage other people to vote if you think it's a good idea, and then maybe it'll get somewhere. I don't know. We'll see. But what has to happen now is they're going to take out of, I don't know how many people have submitted things, because like I said, there's no list anywhere. Hundreds, I imagine. And they're going to narrow it down to 30, and then they're going to have all those 30 people make another video, yet a new video, which I suppose they'll have some instructions on what they want in it. And then they'll narrow it down to 10. So it's going to be quite a process. If I don't get into the last 30, then it's done. But, you know, it's all up to you guys, I guess. If I were still on Facebook and I posted the link there, it wouldn't do anything, because hardly any of my friends on Facebook would have cared about this or anything else. So, most of the people I know who care about something like this are our listeners, and that's about it. So.
Well, luckily, our listeners are incredibly popular in the in the netosphere, so they will move on this.
So that's really...
I do feel there's one other thing we should touch on.
What's that?
Temporarily here. Today, I think actually yesterday, was the death of actor James Gandolfini.
Yeah, I thought you might bring that up.
I was surprised by the strength at which it impacted me. I mean, I didn't, like, cry or shit like that. I mean, it's still some actor I didn't know. But I don't... I have a theory. He was a really a great actor, and I liked to see him in things and would like to have seen him in more things.
Did you watch Sopranos?
I didn't watch Sopranos. I watched several movies he's been in. Mm. No, Trish watched Sopranos. I did not. But the other thing I wonder, the older I get, I feel like the more bothered I am by people who die early. He was 51.
Yeah, 51.
And in my mind, I'm like, that's not that far from me. And so somehow it personalizes it more, and it seems way more like scary and tragic to me. And he had a family and everything, and yeah, it's very sad.
And probably a heart attack.
Yeah, that's what they think it was at this point.
Yeah, just 7 years for me. So, but I mean, I've lost people from my graduating class to cancer and brain aneurysms and crazy things.
I lost a boss to a brain aneurysm. I only found out about a year ago. My boss at my first job out of college, not much older than me. It was kind of shocking.
Did I ever tell you the story about... my cardiologist here in Iowa City?
No, why did you have a cardiologist?
Well, I have a heart condition.
You do?
Yeah, I was born with a heart condition.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have a prolapse.
Does it accidentally grow three sizes?
No. I have a prolapsed mitral valve, and I don't remember what it's called, the other condition. It's my aortic valve only has two. You know how heart valves have like three kind of flaps?
Oh yeah.
My aortic valve has two larger ones and no third one, so there's a kind of a hole.
You're kind of a freak.
It leaks. My heart leaks blood through the aorta.
How poetic.
Yeah.
My heart leaks blood.
I mean, when you listen to it, it sounds, you know, it doesn't have that nice sharp click that a heartbeat usually has. It's kind of... No, it's sloshy. You can hear it. It's really...
Do we need a telethon for you?
No, we don't. So anyway...
Can I sing You'll Never Walk Alone?
No. When I went to college, I eventually needed to get a cardiologist here at the University of Iowa, where I was going to school. Because it's a weird thing. I was told that there would come a time where I would have to reduce my activity... I'm going to need to have both valves replaced someday and all this stuff. So my parents thought that I might qualify for some kind of, you know, vocational rehabilitation money or help for college or something, you know, because I can't just get a job working construction or something. I mean, I have to, because I wouldn't be able, you know, there'd be a time where I wouldn't be able to work in that job anymore. So I kind of need to plan to get a a job that isn't like that. But my pediatric cardiologist really downplayed the condition when we applied for that, or my parents applied for that, or whatever. So I thought, okay, no big deal, you know. So after I got married, I decided I should get life insurance, and they wanted me to see a cardiologist here, which I did. And I thought, you know, that cardiologist is going to say, well, yeah, he's got a pre-existing condition, but it's really trivial. It's not a big deal. But
he said, how are you walking?
No, I don't know what he said, but the premium they wanted to charge me was like two or three levels above someone who smokes. It's like, what? How does this work? You know, my heart condition is so bad, I can't get any kind of scholarships or assistance or anything. Or so mild that I can't get any kind of assistance or anything, but it's so bad that I have to pay a premium that's like two levels higher than a smoker. I mean, it's practically someone who's had a lung removed or
something. What you should do is start smoking.
No. But so anyway, so this cardiologist told me to come back in a couple of years because he said, you don't even have to have this checked every year. It's really not that big a deal.
What the heck?
That's what he told me. And so I thought he was going to tell these people the same thing, which he probably did, but anyway.
Actuarial tables.
It's insurance. So here's the thing about that, though. I tried to come back 2 years later. I forget why, because I was prepared to just never come back.
And they say that cardiologist died 25 years ago on this very night.
No.
Oh, sorry, no, that was a different
story. They said he died just the previous year. He was out jogging or something. And he died. So I couldn't have that cardiologist.
And you didn't really want him until you couldn't have him. And then
I just thought that was really weird.
That is weird.
It kind of goes along with the stories I told before about.
I always think it's hilarious. I shouldn't say hilarious. I always think it's fascinating that controversial dietitian Dr. Adkins died from getting hit by a bus.
He did?
Yes.
Oh.
He died.
Well, I know he was dead, but I didn't know how he died.
Yeah, no, he got hit by a bus.
By a bus?
Nothing to do with diet. I feel like that's irony, but that may just be my own prejudice against the Atkins diet.
I was really, I mean, as I'm thinking about this, I'm remembering how odd that felt that they told me, oh, well, he's dead. Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh. I mean, he wasn't an old guy.
Oldish, I think. I want to say he was in the 60s or something.
No,
but yeah.
My cardiologist.
Oh, yeah.
He's not an old guy. He was older, but...
There's so much crap we still have no idea about. It's kind of ridiculous.
Maybe we should draw some things
death.
From that. Sorry.
Hi.
It's one of my stories about I meet someone and then
that's true.
Later
he kills people.
They die or someone they know dies.
In an easy chair? Was this guy in an easy chair?
No.
You don't know. You weren't there.
This isn't the only other story I've got like this. I've got plenty of them. It's really sad.
Really, guys, I fear for my life.
And yet, I was the one
by
in the car.
Peasants.
In the car that was between.
You're the reason it came towards them. By coincidence, you were in the way. What do we got?
Dear Magical Talking Hat, Kia B wants to know.
Kia B.
Grumpy
King
Cat.
King of the Wild Frontier. Grumpy Cat.
Do you know Grumpy Cat?
I do know Grumpy Cat.
Lovable or overexposed?
It can be two things.
Can be both?
I feel like it is. I don't understand. I get how the whole fucking world can be obsessed with a particular cat. What I don't get is why Grumpy Cat to such a huge degree and not Happy Cat, Ceiling Cat, other memes of cute cats. Grumpy Cat seems to just far outweigh the scope of the popularity of all the other cats.
Well, Grumpy Cat looks different than other cats.
Yeah, but there are other cats that look different, I think.
But but the cats you just named don't look significantly different.
I guess that is true.
In a way that connects them to what they're being called.
I guess that is true. I feel like it's way overdone. Also to the degree that at this point, Grumpy Cat gets used in places where Grumpy is not the appropriate joke you're even trying to make. Like, you know, I mean, Grumpy Cat laughs at you. No, see? Grumpy. You know, I still, when I see a well-placed Grumpy Cat meme, that I'm fine with that. That still cracks me up. But no, I do think Grumpy Cat is overplayed.
Well, you know, it kind of all depends, because...
What does it depend on? Does it depend upon red wheelbarrow glazed with rain beside the white chickens?
No.
Because so much does depend on that.
Okay.
Don't you remember that poem?
No.
Famous poem.
Good. I don't know it. See, the thing is, really, this doesn't just pertain to Grumpy Cat. It pertains to any meme. The fact of the matter is, it's easy to imagine someone coming up with one, even maybe a year from now, that's just going to be hilarious. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's what makes you feel like they're overexposed is that there get to be so many of them that are maybe not so good or mediocre or whatever. Like there's nobody out there sort of controlling them so that the only ones that get through are the really high quality ones.
Well, arguably, you're only inundated with the ones that people find funny enough to share.
But people have different tastes, so...
No, that's not true.
Yes, yes. So even though you're only inundated with the ones people feel like are funny enough to share, there's so many, you know, little subcultures in the United States that you're bound to see. Most of the ones you're going to see might not be funny to you or that funny, maybe mediocre funny. Not, you know, knock you over funny.
I'm on the verge of making an internet meme.
Okay.
There has come into my hands a hilarious and original photo of the neighbor's child that is hilarious enough that it has essentially become a meme within our households that we will show the picture to each other at certain moments. And I want to turn it into its meme, and I have gotten permission from the parents. Mm-hmm. I have yet to work out the details exactly. It's sort of, I feel like it's an equivalent to playing the world's smallest violin. Mm-hmm. But I haven't quite get there. I should post the picture as well, and people can help me with the usefulness of the meme.
So, yeah, I think of something, it just seems to me that whenever anything, not just an internet meme. I mean, remember, a meme, when we hear that word, we think of something very specific now in reference to the internet. But, of course, when it was originally coined, it meant really any idea or concept or whatever out there. What are you doing?
I was doing choreography with your speech.
I hope our listeners enjoyed that.
Yes, there were some gestures involved.
And anything that... It seems to me whenever someone says something's overexposed, they're really not so much talking about the quantity of it, the exposure, but the quality of it. That people can't get enough of something as long as it maintains a certain quality.
I don't know.
I don't think there is
such a thing. Because the place I get this a lot is with a song that I really like, and it's played so much on the radio that I eventually get to where I cannot stand that song.
Well, right, but, you know, and I suppose...
It's not the quality of the song. I loved the song originally.
I know, but is there no song that it doesn't matter how much you listen to?
There are albums, and it's magical, and I don't understand it. It's only very specific albums, but it's not the best albums. There's albums I like better that don't fall into this category.
I realize that, but there's a certain quality that these have that you will not get tired of them.
I don't know what it is, though. It's very weird.
It's not... I'm not talking about quality in the sense of like critical quality or popular.
Well, you said quality versus quantity,
well,
which tends to imply that.
No, well, I'm saying quality in the sense of
there is a unique quality.
Yes.
Okay.
As in
not high or low quality.
Yeah, and standing in direct contrast to quantity, it's It's not something that has anything to do with how much of it
there is. I'm willing to go with that. But by the way, just because I have to get this out here, the album that first and foremost always hits this is Counting Crows, August, and Everything After.
Yeah, you've said seriously, this on the podcast
that
before.
Album never gets old. I don't know why. It's a magic. Anyway, I will agree with you that
it has
concept.
A magic quality.
There
see?
You go. But there are songs / memes / whatever that lack that quality and yet are not disseminated to the degree that they become overplayed. So the two conditions that have to be met are to lack that quality and to be disseminated to a high enough degree.
Yes, that's right. You're right. That's exactly right.
And I feel that Grumpy Cat definitely meets the second criteria.
Well, but...
And maybe meets
but we're not,
the first.
We're not talking about Grumpy Cat. We're talking about I Grumpy like, Cat memes, see?
I feel like we are, though.
The memes are the thing, you know?
Yeah, but it's spread to... People make plushies and and cartoons and
well, okay,
stuff.
So that's a whole other thing though, because if people are making things out of Grumpy Cat that really, you know, if the strength of the Grumpy Cat brand is in the memes, not in anything else, if whatever little craft you do with it, then that's another way something can seem to be overexposed, because now you're taking this thing that works for this medium, but it doesn't work for this medium.
And they're overdoing it with the merchandise.
And the low quality of this medium is hurting the quality, you know, the relative quality of this medium over here.
The strength of the Grumpy Cat brand.
Yeah. This is what we're talking about.
That might have to be the title.
This is what, when people talk about brands, this is kind of the thing, this is the kind of thing they're talking about.
I have just recently discovered the Chuck Testa meme. So how's that for late to the game, people?
I don't even know what that is.
See? But you're you. Like, for me, that's late. Because I was trying to think of Grumpy Cat memes now that I would still find funny. And the first thing that popped in my head was, is that Grumpy Cat? No. Chuck Testa. Sorry. Nope. Chuck Testa.
I think this question is getting overexposed.
Nope. Chuck Testa.
Okay. Let's try another one.
Alright.
You like it when we just have one question, I think.
I like it when we have no questions.
That's only happened once, and I think that was...
Because the hat is thwarted. Something, we still got plenty of time, though.
Something was wrong there.
Here we go. No, I like to get deep into the psyche of the question, so you just like to wham, bam, thank you, hard hat, and then move on. See?
Yeah.
I like to take my time with each listener. Not in a creepy way.
Okay.
Well, kind of in a creepy way. Dear Hat, which do you prefer? The Ode to Joy or the Hallelujah Chorus? And why? Signed, Veramond. Veramond. That question makes me want to shove you in a locker.
Why?
I don't know. It's so nerdy.
It's
a very specific kind of nerdy.
Ode to Joy.
Really?
Yes.
And why? Also, why does this one lens of my glasses keep getting
let's
so
see.
Much?
Why do I like Ode to Joy more? I don't know, really. Honestly, it's probably not so much that I like Ode to Joy, per se.
That you hate Hallelujah Chorus?
I'm not a huge fan of the Hallelujah Chorus. I don't really... It's never really done anything for me.
See, and for me, Hallelujah Chorus is the only one I have really much connection to, because I performed it, like, twice.
Hmm.
And in fact, I frequently find myself humming one of like three different parts out of it, because at different points in my life and in rehearsal I was doing different parts.
Well, I mean, I performed
I'm not
Ode to
big
Joy
into
also.
Either of them.
I've performed it as a vocalist and as a musician, and but I don't think that has anything to do with it. Now, of course, when I performed Ode to Joy, it was in English. I don't know, is there any other language that Ode to Joy is performed in?
Esperanto.
No, I'm just saying.
I have no idea. I can't play Soul de Joy at the moment.
The Hallelujah Chorus is not performed in English. It's performed in something else, right? Some
mm-hmm. language. For the Lord God Omnipotent reign.
Okay. See, I don't even know that.
See, and I don't know enough about Ode to Joy. So thanks. You've split the party, Verimon. Thank you so much. Now we each have to do our own podcast.
I don't know. Yeah, Hallelujah Chorus. Never really got into it much. But Ode to Joy, I performed it. I thought it was a good tune, I guess.
They used it on Doctor Who one time.
What?
Oh, the Ode to Joy.
Oh, that's used on lots of things.
I believe the episode was called Ode to Joy.
I like it, I guess.
That's fair. That was not a good joke, I'll admit. That response was fair. I don't feel real good about that joke. Especially because I feel like I took too long of a walk getting there.
Well, maybe our listeners can say which they prefer, Ode to Joy or...
Maybe they can. Let's find out.
Maybe they will.
Guys, are you able to access websites? Are you able to form opinions and type? If so, we've got such a deal for you. Go to themagicaltalkinghat.com. Once again, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Just the ladies now. Not just the fellas. The magic... YouTube, magicaltalkinghat.com.
I'm not part of the audience.
Anyway, go there and comment on this episode or any others that you'd like to. There's people there who talk about stuff. William frequently shows up. The producer shows up. It's a party.
Do you like telling people how wrong they are?
Hey.
Sure, we all do.
Yes. Yes. So thank you, won't you?
Won't you? I think we've pretty much used that one up already, too. Sorry, Verimon, if we didn't talk about that one as long as you would have liked.
I'm not sorry.
You're never sorry.
I was sorry for that Ode to Joy joke.
That's true. But that was you feeling sorry for yourself, which...
Yes.
Which you don't mind doing on the air. Doing that on the air, and I apologize.
Did I not clarify? I was sorry for myself for the Ode to Joy joke. Maybe that should be the title.
Mm. Hey, Hat!
What? Sorry.
How would you explain my prolonged absence from emailing you guys, Verimond? That's two for Verimond today. How would we explain it?
I'm guessing you... Oh, no, wait. His dog ate his email address.
Yeah, that must be what happened.
Or, he broke all of his fingers and, only recently did he get them replaced with cybernetic fingers.
Mm.
That story started off way more exciting than it ended.
Yeah, it kind of sounded like...
Other possibilities. He was held hostage, and they would let him listen to podcasts, but they would not let him write to podcasts. They were very, very specific kidnappers. Kidnappers.
That sounds cruel.
Yeah, especially when it's ours. Come on, I got like four of them. Like, give me some more.
Oh, I have to think of one?
Come up with some here.
Well, how would I explain?
How would you explain?
He spent an extended period of time visiting friends of his in China.
China, good one. All right. Head trauma caused major aphasia that only recently was... fixed.
The truth is...
Due to more head trauma.
The truth is he's been writing us the entire time, but the NSA intercepted all of his questions.
Ooh, nice. Bringing it down a little bit. The truth is he's been writing us the entire time, but we draw them out randomly, so we have no idea, like, what time. They're probably all just sitting in there.
That's true.
Yeah, like, he's just a liar. I happen to know... In solidarity with Azertalon, he shaved his head. Possibly his hair was the one doing the writing.
Mm.
I never really realized.
Or maybe... When
some of his questions do sound like they were written by a wad of hair.
But maybe he's a little like Samson, and when he He shaved his head. He lost that was his power to write
emails.
Emails, yeah.
That would explain. So Veramond essentially is Samson, but instead of great strength and faith, he can write email.
Yeah, and that's why he can't cut his hair. But he has a
weakness, yes. Yeah.
But he cut his hair, and now he couldn't do it anymore.
So does that make Azure Talon Delilah, because she got him to cut his
maybe.
Hair?
Maybe.
Or that, he got him
well,
to...
Well, you know, it would make sense, I guess.
I like that. I like that very much. He's like the Hawkman of people.
What? The Hawkman of people?
Yes, because Hawkman was on the Super Friends, and his superpower was flying, mm-hmm. which they all could do, plus other shit.
Right.
And so, Veramond is that equivalent of just normal humans. His superpower, which is a superpower in that it has a weakness and can be taken away, is the ability to write email, which all the rest of us can already just do normally. So... He's the Hawkman of the regular people. Which makes it sound more impressive, doesn't it? Because it makes it sound like he can fly, and of course the rest of us cannot. Right. But no. In fact...
Because the analogy makes the rest of us super friends.
He has... Yes. We're like, duh, we can all write email, and it's not even a thing we talk about. Because we have other accomplishments.
But he's got that.
And he's like, no. With the right color sun... And if there's no rocks from my home planet around, I can type emails. It's like, as long as you don't find my one true weakness, as long as the email is not in a lead-lined box, as long as the email is not the color yellow, I can write it.
But, of course, I would probably explain his prolonged absence from emailing us just to the fact that he didn't care, didn't want to. And that's what I would explain.
I don't know. I'm way on to this Hawkman.
We can make stuff up all day, but the fact of the matter is, you don't want to write, you're not going to write.
I love this.
Just didn't want to, which is fine, you know. Nobody's twisting your arm.
As long as my arch nemesis, I don't know, the government of China... Because, you know, they would want to block email.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, as long as my arch nemesis doesn't find my weakness, I can harness my power to write an email. To anybody. You don't even understand. I can type in any email address I want.
Do we happen to know, actually, the reason that he wasn't?
I have no idea, but I am saying with 100% certainty that this is it. That he has the superpower.
Superpower, okay.
And somebody found... a chunk of his home planet and brandished it at him.
His hair, remember?
And
it's all about the hair.
He's like, oh no, my one weakness. Cutting my hair and magic, because in the video game that's Veramond versus Mortal Kombat, they had to explain why Veramond could lose in a fight.
Yeah, magic. And
it's because he's up against magic.
Yep.
Do you remember that one movie where Veramond typed an email so fast it made the Earth go backwards?
That was amazing.
It was.
I thought that was very clever at the time, but later.
Seemed weird later. Yeah. Like, yeah, as a kid, you're like, dude, but now you're like, I don't think that would work.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's just email.
This is just getting silly now. Come on.
I know, but it's definitely going to be called the Hawkman of regular people. We got 10 minutes. We can do another
one. Okay, let's do another one.
Because of Earth's polluted atmosphere, Veramond can only retain his email typing abilities... for 3 Earth minutes. Time is running out. Veramond is a friend to all children.
God. Jeez. I'm really stunned at how far you can take this. This is amazing.
Dear Timth. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ wrote us a question?
No, Jesus Craig wrote us a question. Oh, actually, just Craig.
I didn't know his first name was Jesus.
Well, he's from the UK, so they pronounce it Jesus.
Oh, okay.
What is your opinion of creationism?
Well, what is your opinion of creationism?
I have yet to ever see any argument or evidence that remotely makes any sense for creationism.
You mean for, like, the scientific
proof? Yeah. Sorry, I guess intelligent design is what I should say. Oh. Creationism is wholly an act of faith and not one that one proves or disproves. I don't believe in the Christian God, so I guess I don't believe in creationism. I'm willing to give this, and the Buddhists are willing to give this too. Theoretically, before the Big Bang, or whenever, as certain strains of Buddhism refer to as the first cause, as it were, sure, God could have started that, whatever. But we don't know, and we can't know, and it doesn't really change anything, because it's whatever pushed the first domino. We still can study how the dominoes fell. And understand that, and that's really the only thing we can understand, so what the hell. So yeah, if you want to call that intelligent design or whatever, I acknowledge that as a possibility. But creationism? Hell no. I finally looked up some of the arguments for intelligent design, and they're just bad arguments.
Well, here's my opinion about it. I believe, personally, I do believe that in a creator and that all of this was created by an intelligent being.
Really? You're a theist? I did not know that.
Yeah. However, that is a matter of faith. I think any notion that you can prove or disprove this scientifically is really absurd. To teach intelligent design or to teach any kind of scientific theory of a creator in school is, I think, a ridiculous notion, not because of some misplaced interpretation of, you know, the First Amendment or the separation between church and state, but simply because it's not science.
Well, and there's sort of nothing to teach.
No.
Except I mean, you can say this is what we believe.
Exactly.
Not based on something, but faith.
But I do fundamentally object to the notion of anybody who's teaching a science class saying, well, here is an alternative scientific theory that it was created by an intelligent being. That's not a scientific theory.
No.
It can't be a scientific theory. And to tell young people that it is a scientific theory is a lie. And I fundamentally object to that.
Intelligent design has tried their damnedest to make it a scientific theory.
I know, and they're...
But it's just not empirical remotely. The whole...
It's misguided and wrong.
What's the whole minimum complexity or whatever? The theory that certain facets just can't be broken down any further, therefore they could not have evolved.
Yeah, here's the thing. First of all, another thing is a lot of the scientists who, so-called scientists, who want to put forth that they have some kind of proof, or like you were just talking about, they have some concept that they think can't be explained without intelligent, without having to posit an intelligence. It's just bad scientific thinking. I mean, it's wrong. It's not based on anything empirical or tested or proven. It's just bad science. And here's the thing that I've come to understand, and I've not seen a single thing yet to contradict this. First of all, as I said, I believe that everything was created. I personally...
Now, when you say that, do you mean created as is?
No. I think that, you know, as scientists, as we when we look at the universe and we see how it evolved, well, I don't know how it was done. Let me just put it that way.
Yes, but I'm just curious. So do you believe that something started the process?
That's what I mean. I don't, you know, the notion that the Big Bang was started by, quote unquote, someone, and then it was left to go, I don't know if that's an accurate way to portray it or not.
Okay. What about the notion that out of nothing, somebody made cats?
No, I mean, cats, they evolved from earlier, simpler forms. I mean, whatever science is telling us about these things is what's
true. So you believe in as far back as current evolutionary science can go, basically.
Right.
Okay.
But this is what I was about to explain. Now I kind of lost my train of thought. No, that's right. Science. Okay, this is what I was going to say. I love it when science can explain something that we previously didn't understand, and a lot of people wanted to put God in there. Because to me, the God that I think of as creating everything, I think of as being so good at it that God is not going to leave a bunch of messy holes and gaps so that, you know, we're completely mystified and that...
And God essentially did it through science.
Right.
Science was the tool.
That's right. To me, if we can explain all material existence without having to defer to an intelligent designer, to me, that speaks more for the intelligence of that designer than if there are all these gaps that we have to, talk about the intelligent designer in order to fill. In other words, to me, I've accepted that my belief in this God is completely an issue of faith, and I like it that way. I would think it's a very... my conception of God is... I think of God as so great and powerful that the notion of that God doing such a sloppy job with creation that it can't function on its own.
That it's ineffable.
Yeah.
In any capacity.
Right. That would degrade my opinion of that God to think that there's something that's just magical, you know, that can't be explained through other scientific explanations. And my opinion is that people who don't feel that way about it, who want to think there's some scientific way to arrive at their belief in God, these are people, the reason they want to do that is because they want to make other people think the way they think. It's an issue of control.
Yeah.
And because they want to control other people, and that's their main goal, that gets in the way of their thinking through rationally their own science. Because, I mean, if they really thought about it, if they really applied themselves to it, they could see that some of the things that they say and some of the things they want to teach kids doesn't make any sense rationally, logically, scientifically, or any other way. But they're blocked from seeing that by their desire to control other people and to make them believe the same thing that they believe. And I suppose that ultimately that comes down to they have a very weak faith themselves. Their faith is based on this delusional proof. And since I think unconsciously they know that it's delusional, the only way to not have that delusion challenged is to make everybody else believe it too.
Right.
So that's what's going on. And I think it bothers me a lot, actually, that it happens, because I think it's... You know, it's just bad. I mean, it's bad to teach kids something that's not true. It's bad for people to say something is science when it's not, and of course, it just gives atheists who are angry about this kind of thing more fuel for them to criticize people of faith, and for them to sometimes, I mean, there are a lot of atheists that attack religion in a way that doesn't make any sense. That's completely illogical.
Yeah.
You know, I mean. They're I completely understand atheism. I mean, if you're going to decide you're only going to believe in God if you have proof, well, then, you know, I wouldn't believe in God either if that was my standard of
belief. Well, and you don't choose faith. This is a thing that always bothers me with people. You don't choose faith. You don't choose your beliefs. Not really. People can convince themselves of that, but you don't choose what you believe in. And so, by the same token that people who believe in some crazy religious stuff that I don't necessarily agree with can't choose that, they can't say one day, I'm going to believe in something else. You also can't one day say, I'm going to believe in God, if you don't.
No, I think that's true.
And I speak from strong experience on this because my belief system was fairly similar to yours until recently, the last few years, when it is slipping pretty much towards atheism, and it's not something I control. It's not something I'm particularly happy with. I just don't believe.
Well, as I said, I don't have a problem. I mean, I can completely understand atheists. For an atheist to say that a person that believes in a creator God, for example, that's a fundamental flaw in their character. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And for them to say that, you know, all of the horrible things that have happened in history are because of religion is also ridiculous.
Yeah.
Some of it's been done in the name of religion, but look a little deeper. It's really not about religion, unless you define religion very specifically as these organizations that kill people.
Well, and then you can start making the same argument over economics and stuff. So money is a terrible character flaw, and we need to get rid of all money.
But atheists are some of the most rational and logical people there are. So what's taking these atheists who about everything else are so rational, they get irrational when it comes to suggesting that somehow you can prove that God doesn't exist, or suggesting that atheism is the default value, you know, believing in God is adding something. So, you know, we're the people who believe in God are doing something, and atheists aren't doing something. Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, there is no default value.
And I think the psychology plays out pretty much the same on both sides.
One thing or the other. That's true. So, but what I'm saying is this: the intelligent design people.
Wrap it up, sir, because we're over time.
The intelligent design people are just they're making every person of faith basically a target, and I'm not excusing the people on the other side who get radicalized, but both sides are stirring up the pot and just making this huge debate that's perfectly ridiculous. You know, science is science and religion is religion, and I'm not saying that they're absolutely exclusive from one another, but I am saying that there's no reason for them to be in conflict with one another, or that people who are religiously minded and people who are scientifically minded have to feel like they're at each other's throats. We've just made that up in our culture, and we've just use it as an excuse to fight one another.
And faith and empiricism are two distinct things that don't really mush together. You can have both in an individual, but you can't really use them at the same time.
Well, you don't need to, though. I mean, there's no reason. I mean, when I'm doing science and I'm operating as if no God exists in my scientific work, I'm not compromising my faith.
Yeah.
I'm just doing science.
Yeah.
And
Penn and Teller's old show Bullshit did an episode on the Bible one time where they debunked a bunch of it. And they said early on, I say they, of course Penn said it, they say, unless your argument in favor of all this is your faith, in which case we don't have a leg to stand on against you.
Yeah.
Like, if you just have faith in the Bible, there's nothing we can say about that. They're like, these are the people, and there's all sorts of people who are like trying to scientifically prove the authenticity of the Shroud of Turin and other crazy shit.
Well, I don't even understand that impulse. I mean, believing in God, a creator God, is a matter of faith. That's all it ever can be or will be, and any notion to the contrary is misguided, and I think led by a desire to control other people. I can't see any other way around it.
And with that, Kirk Cameron's Hit Squad is coming to take us out very soon, so we got to go.
Thank you, Craig, Vermond, and Kiabi.
And Vermond again. The Hawkman of regular people. So
wow, I probably made some people mad.
I'm wondering. It'll be interesting. If you have an opinion Like, let's just not have 12 people who say, yeah, William, about this. If you have an opinion that you think lends something, and especially if you have an opinion that disagrees with William on creationism and intelligent design, talk about it on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. I like to think we are a place of good discourse, largely because I don't tend to say things. Because I would make fun of all of you, and I do, but out loud and not on the blog. Also write the blog yourself, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Do it, or Verimon will have more things to say, and nobody wants that. So with that, sleep well, and... Yeah, I got nothing.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.